Dear ones, let us unite our hearts in prayer. O Father in heaven, we have come together in this afternoon having been refreshed in this morning, and we come together again by thy grace as we have assembled together to read again from thy word and to meditate on its truths. Lord, we simply would ask of thee that thou would empty our thoughts and hearts of anything that will distract us from the power of thy word, the truths that are found therein. And give us a willingness to pay heed. Give us a willingness to worship thee, to assemble together with the strong burning desire in our heart that we would honor thee and glorify thee through the assembling of ourselves together with the saints. Abide thou with us that we have come together, and bless us one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I desire to read from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 22. Želim kroz Božju pomoć da se pročita iz Otkrivenja 22. glava. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, when we read of the Apostle Paul and the Apostles, John here, who's writing Peter, and we think of their complete submission and dedication to the service, submission of their Lord. And yet, Apostle Paul, when he comes down from paradise, from the third heaven, he says, God saw it necessary to send a messenger from Satan to Paul. He says, so that through the much knowledge that he has given, he doesn't become puffed up. So we see a man who has completely given himself over to serve the Lord. And the Lord, in his perfect wisdom, knowledge, everything, who created Paul and knows everything about him, who knows every one of us, who counts the stars that he has created and knows every one by name. He named every star and he knows them all. This is a God whom we often think that we can trick or have him overlook my inconsistencies with my profession and my actual submission. And in this chapter here, we see John, who, this is the second time now he falls to the feet of an angel, to worship an angel. And the angel told him, stand up. We see the weakness of a man. And who are we then? John saw it fit that he would write this for us to see that he had failed. He's an old man now. He walked through the New Jerusalem. And he's writing here, dear ones, the last words before the Lord in any new revelation would remain silent now for what is now 2,000 plus years. He said everything that needed to be said. Everything. Nothing was left that a man could say, only if this or only if that, everything was said. And throughout all of Scripture, even from, we can look in the days of Noah. When Noah had completed the ark, it was done. Salvation was secured. God walked into the ark and told Noah, come, come in. For 120 years, Noah preached, come, come. Nothing has changed. We've come to the close of the Bible, the only book that points us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And throughout the Scripture, we hear what we see at the final words that God has to give, come. Everything is completed. Salvation has been secured in Jesus Christ. Come. And what does man do? Puts off for another day. Where nowhere in Scripture does Jesus ever say, he never warns a young man, you're going to be involved in a car accident tomorrow that is going to take your life. As you are unjust, having rejected me, and you in your mind had a plan that one day you would serve me. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't tell us, you're old now. Give your life to me. Now he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Come. The invitation goes out, simply come. In Isaiah, the call went forth, buy milk and honey without price. And so, dear ones, in this chapter here, we read of the river and the tree, the river and the tree of life. We read of really our focus. I'd like for it to be on the invitation. The invitation that he is giving. He says, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. We say, well, that was untrue. It wasn't really shortly. There's no time period between these words. The Lord has been silent. There's no other issue of warning that will be given. From here, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And so for you, my dear friend, my young man and my young lady who are here, life is so in front of you. It's so in your mind something that it really isn't. But you can't possibly know that. Because that's what life deceives us with, into thinking that there's something grandesque about it, and we have grandesque plans and so on, but time just flows through, marches on, and suddenly, as John here is an old man, so you will become an old man. But the invitation that came, you cannot afford to ignore even today. You can't afford it. Because you're banking on something that is a lie. It's a lie. If Jesus says it, just like he told Adam and Eve, he gave them instructions. It says here later, he says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written. If any man takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life. And so, dear ones, what we can find ourselves doing is what Adam and Eve did. See, Adam and Eve took away and they added. They took away and they added. And they were removed from the garden. We cannot afford to alter the word in any way for my desire, for what I want, for what I think God means. When we start thinking, well, surely God wouldn't mean this, this is what he means. The scripture simply tells us that our ways are not the ways of God. His are way beyond anything that we can ever imagine or think of. And so the utmost importance is to look to the book that is coming to a close here, with a warning, but with an invitation. Come. Come. Not to take anything out to make it easier for you to come. Jesus said that out of the all things, all sin, all defilement comes out from within our hearts. You know, I was thinking about sin, its deceitfulness, what it does to us. And, you know, we can blame all of our sin on something. You know, we live in a day right now, which is, if I can call this, it's a pornographic day, age. It's illicit, it's ugly, it's dirty, and so we can actually blame it, our lives, our lusts, on the age in which we live. And you know, we can create filters. We can install filters in our computers. We can do all kinds of things. We can have accountability partners and so on. That's all good. But Jesus says, you still have a problem. Your heart. It's the matter of the heart. Because what that does is it brings out that which is inside of us. And so if it is inside of us, it will come out. That needs to be rooted out. And the rooting of that comes out when we submit unto God. So yes, we're supposed to flee from those books and computer screens and various things. Anything that will cause us to go down a path that is not the path of Jesus Christ. Can we take him with us wherever we go? If the answer is no, then we can't go there. But James doesn't say, just flee. He doesn't say, just run away from that. Throw it away. That's not the answer. The answer is submit to Christ. Submit to him. So we have to flee to something, someone. You can't just run around running away from this, running away from that. You have to run to. And here he's saying, come. Come to me. Come to me. So we need to run to him. He is the one that can change us and prepare us for this, what he is writing here, that where he says, behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He's offering water, a river of life. Didn't the rich man in hell cry out for a drop of water? He rejected the river of life, water, crystal clear, clean, being offered to him. There was something in the way. He did not want that water. He did not want that. Why? Why did he refuse the water of life? Because he wanted to live for himself. But now, where it says, let him, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That rich man was found in hell. As he departed this life unjust, so he will continue to be unjust in all of eternity. Weeping and wailing, begging for a drop, knowing he rejected the river of life. Knowing he rejected, and what he's going to think in his mind, what did I reject it for? For that? I am in this torment for that? For that brief little smidgen of time, I am now in a hell's fire, and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He sees him, and he wants to be comforted, and there's no comfort. Behold, I come quickly. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Basically, what we say when we want to be filthy, when we want to be unjust, is God didn't mean that. Isn't that what the serpent told Eve? That's not what God meant. That's not what he meant. And so when we want to be filthy, that's not what God meant. He knows our frame. Oh, yes, and he knows every thought. Just as he knows every name of the stars. He knows every thought that goes through our mind. And he knows what issues come out of our heart. And so he says, come. That's where you will find healing. That's where I can make in you a new man. I can create a new heart within you. I can give you something that you can't even dream of. I can do this work in you, but you have to come. How many came when Noah was preaching? He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. He that is righteous, he will continue on to be righteous in eternity. He that is holy, he will continue to be holy in all of eternity. My reward is with me. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the first. I'm the last. What part of that, dear ones, what part of this invitation do we not understand? What part of this invitation do we sit there and say, what did he mean? What part do we not understand when he says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still? We know the difference between holiness and filthiness. Holiness is God. Filthiness is self. That's why we are to go to the cross. That is the power of God unto salvation. On Calvary, there were three crosses. Two thieves. One found grace and one didn't. What is it today? One man will find grace, one man will not. What is it that keeps a man from coming to God? What gets a man to come to God in a false profession? Changing these words around, making them fit a lifestyle that Jesus doesn't ever show. Dire warnings are in this chapter, and blessed invitations are here. And it's really just for us to, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right. They have a right. Who? The ones who are blessed. Who is blessed? The ones that do his commandments. They have a right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. For what is outside? He says, dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And all of those things that we read this morning, those who love and do those things, the same thing. That is what is without. What is within are the ones who love him and do his commandments. They have a right. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The day is far spent. Or the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I am the bright and the morning star. I am ready to come. I'm ready to come. Behold, I come quickly. And the Spirit and the bride, who is the bride? Come. This is what they say. Come. The church says, come. Am I a member of the church of God? Do I want to see him? He describes a river. He describes a new Jerusalem that we can't even understand it. He tries to put it in some kind of words. But what does he save for the last? That which is the best. That which is what makes us say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. When he says here, and they shall see his face. Isn't that what we want, dear ones, to see? To see the face of the one who wore the crown of thorns. Do we want to see him now with the crown upon his head? As our Lord, as our King, as our life, as our all, you will see him. Why would I not want to say, come? Come, Lord. There's one reason why I wouldn't say that. I can't say, come, Lord Jesus, if I have sin. So Jesus is saying, come unto me. I will take that away. I died for you. Repent and come to me. Learn of me. The bride and the Spirit say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you don't, you'll be begging for a drop. And the next day, you'll beg again. And the next month, and the next year, and the next decade, and the next century, and on and on. And what's that hymn say about amazing grace? When we've been there 10,000 years, where there is no time, we have just begun to sing his praises. When you've been in hell for 10,000 years, you've just begun hell. And you'll always be begging for that drop of water. Why? Because he's saying here, come. If you're athirst, come. He knows you're thirsty. Come. There's water. It's flowing freely. And so, dear ones, he has left me and you with a task. He's left us with a task to watch. While he is gone, he says, stand and watch. Watch. Because he will come at an hour, at a time when you don't expect him. Why can't that be now? Why can't it be now, my dear young soul outside of Christ? Why can't it be now? Because I didn't finish college? Because I didn't start my career? Because I didn't do these things yet that I really want to do. So my life isn't over yet. I still have a lot of living to do. Why can't he fulfill his promise, which he says? Again, he just says the night is far spent and the day is at hand. I am the bright and the morning star. I will appear. And so he says, be ready. Be ready. Take of the water of life freely. The water that you will drink, that you will never thirst again. The water that quenches your thirsty soul. How many men and women are dying today, thirsty, dying of thirst, as they ignore the water of life freely flowing? Ignoring him. Ignoring him. Dying, parched. Just like that rich man. Died thirsty, living thirsty for eternity. Wanting it now, but unable to receive. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. We cannot say, dear ones, that the sin is something that can be trifled with. Because when we do, we're saying that God is surely not going to do the things that he said. He said, I will give every man according to his works. He that is unjust, he that is filthy, he that is holy, he that is righteous will continue. and then an eternity of weeping and regrets, or an eternity of seeing his face, rejoicing with the angels. The angels who never went through what you and I will go through in life. The angels never faced those things that we face. But dear ones, whatever we face, we do it with our Lord by our side. And we give him glory, we give him honor. He gives us the strength, and we give him our praises. God will never give us that what we don't need. I look at the life of Apostle Paul, and I cannot believe. That's because I can't think like God thinks. I can't believe that he needed the messenger from Satan to keep him humble. I just ask the Lord that he would show me what I need and give it to me, whatever it is, and that I would accept it by his grace. Because everything is meant to bring us into alignment with who he is. And when he says, come, he says, surrender. Give your life to me. I'll take care of you. And you're going to see my face. It is my prayer that every one of us seated here today could say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I often ask myself, can I really say that tonight when I kneel by my bed? Can you say that, my dear friend? Can you really kneel down at your bedside and say, Lord, come? You can't. You can't. And if we cannot say it, that means we're not sure we'll see his face. Because if we're sure we'll see his face, and he gives that blessed assurance, he gave it to the apostles, he'll give it to us, then we can't say it. And so then we have to look into our heart. Because out of the heart, it's the heart that everything comes out of. Am I ready and willing to surrender my heart to Jesus? Come to him. Flee from the devil. Flee all those things that are leaving me breathless when I read this and I see the apostle and the bride saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And if I can't sit there and say it, then I have to consider my ways and be thankful. And be thankful that the Lord has shown me. But now I have to do something. And we have to do what he said. Come. Come, let him that is athirst come. And he closes the entire scriptures with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What a blessed way to end this book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. Nothing that I could have done, nothing that I can do. It's the completed work of Jesus Christ and his blood and a new heart and a new man that he creates through our submission unto him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let that humble us. Let that humble us as we search our hearts and our ways so that we could also say with the Spirit and the bride, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
as the message went out again this afternoon, to come. We not only want the Lord Jesus to come, but the Lord Jesus wants us to come to Him. And from our friends outside of Jesus Christ, He wants you to come to Him while the day of grace is still at hand. Let me explain to you the reason that the message to come to Him is because we want my unconverted friends to escape that torment and that eternal condemnation that you are doomed for. We read in the scriptures, and there are other places, but in Luke chapter 16, here's what the rich man and Lazarus, it talks about him, and the rich man went to this place that is full of torment, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's a place of torment. You don't realize, and you can't comprehend. And that's not just touching the flame and burning yourself a few times. No, that's forever. We read in Revelation chapter 16, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. My friend outside of Christ, the only reason you hear these kind of sermons is to spare you from this. You don't realize that that is forever and forever. We can't comprehend that. There's no relief. This is what you want. You need to make the decision. You need to come. You need to come to Him, humble yourself as the brother prayed. And He'll forgive you. It doesn't matter what kind of life you led or have. He's willing to forgive you. But you got to submit to Him, come to Him, and plead for His mercy and His grace. So may God bless these words upon our hearts, and maybe this is a message of fear, but it should be a fear. You can come out of love. Personally, myself, because I came to the Lord, I came out of fear. I didn't want no part of that hot place my mom talked about. And it got to me. I couldn't take it. And I never wanted to go that place. And so when I come to the Lord, and that's many times has motivated me to forsake sin in my life in any way, shape, or form, so that I don't ever, ever have to face that tormenting thought of one day burning in hellfire forever. We want you to be spared of this, and you can while the day of grace is still at hand. You can come to the Lord. This is the day of salvation. Amen.